This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here today. Another interview with a candidate for governor. Second time we've been able to talk with him in recent weeks. Former member of the Portland Trailblazers, Chris Dudley, on. Chris, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you. It's great to be here, and excited to spend time with you. And it's been we've had a great start, and excited about our campaign.
Yeah.
Great energy out there. Thank you.
Overall, how do you feel like the campaign is going right now? A lot of people, it had been hinted that you were looking at this race for quite a while before you jumped in. And what's kind of been the response since you've become part of this campaign?
It's been fantastic. I was just talking with the person I've been traveling with, Body Guy, who's been helpful. He's actually my son-in-law, ex-police officer, who's great guy, and he just said, you know what, we've traveled 3,800 miles in the last 39 days, and we've been driving all over the state doing meet and greets, town halls, and there is a real energy across the state, and just where people are, just feel like Oregon deserves better, that we can do so much better than what we're doing now, and the two themes that emerge from these travels and talking with people across the board is that, you know, one, there's a reason we love our state. It's a beautiful state. It's incredible people, incredible beauty, so much going for it. And the other theme that emerges is Salem's broken. It's just not working what we're doing now, and we can do so much better, and they want to change, want a different path.
So if somebody were to ask you to kind of explain what you believe the role of governor is, what should the governor's role be? How would you describe that?
I would, that's a good question. I would say to lead the state forward in a way with a vision towards accomplishing, creating the best quality of life for all Oregonians. And it's really, the areas I'm focused on are education, the economy, livability, which encompasses safety, affordability. Where do you live? Where do you work? Where do you play? How do we make those things better? How do we get that done? And right now, we're just not doing it. When you look at education, where we're ranked 47th overall, 50th for fourth grade testing, you look at a place to do business, 46th, job creation, 47th. Portland's ranked 80th out of 81 cities, you know. And the list goes, we're leading in mental illness, addiction. List goes on and on, when we're not accomplishing the core role of government to help in those areas. And it's something that has to be changed. And I feel like Salem's problems will not be solved by somebody from Salem. You know, we need somebody with outside experience, somebody who's away from some of the partisan bickering, and come in and say, hey, we got to concentrate on these core areas, and we got to get this done and focus on it. And I think there's ways of doing that and addressing each of those areas, whether it's looking at education or the tax, reducing taxes and creating a better business environment for Oregon businesses that have Oregon values, whether it's addressing our homeless situation, addiction crisis, safety. All those areas we can do so much better in.
You were away from the political world for a while. What led you to get back into it now?
Well, as you alluded to, I ran in 2010, was in the closest election in the last 70 years. Used the basketball analogy that we lost in double overtime. You know, we had it won on Tuesday and lost it on Thursday. But after that, my wife and I agreed, said that we're not going to run again until the kids are out of high school, and just focused on the family, focused on business, nonprofit. I've had a nonprofit here in Oregon for 30 years for helping kids with diabetes. Focused on those areas, but and this isn't something you want to be right about, but in 2010, I said, we're heading down the wrong path. We're going the wrong direction, and if we don't course correct, it's going to get worse and worse. And again, that's not something I wanted to be right about, but here we are. And And we do need to make changes. And so it was, and I've been asked about running after that 2000 incredibly close election time and time. And I kept looking at it and looking at it and said, you know, it's not going to change with the present government, a governor. And I, as I said, I think you need someone from outside of Salem who can have a message that resonates across party lines change our direction. And that's I decided to run after, as you said, was thinking about it. But then it's a big family decision, and my whole family is into it, on board. And we had to think and pray on it. And once we got to that decision, we just hit the ground running.
Now, you mentioned your nonprofit. Talk about other things you've been engaged in, especially in the world of business in recent years.
So I was Yale Economics, and then I went to the MBA, played in the MBA for 16 years, was treasurer, negotiating committee. You know, we negotiated billion-dollar deals. I worked on, looked at the healthcare and pension plans while in the MBA. And then when I retired from the MBA, got my CFP, Certified Financial Planner, created a investment firm with my partner, and have been the CEO and chairman of the board of a medical device company, as well as running the nonprofit for 30-plus years.
So what are the top things you would work on, work to see happen if you were elected governor?
Well, those core areas, education, economy, livability. So education, improving where we're literally ranked dead last in areas of our education. We have to focus on that. And there, the good news is there are ways of addressing it. You look at Mississippi, for example, it went from 47th to first in reading by focusing on the science of reading, basically getting back to fundamentals, phonics, and accountability in the classroom, and changes the structure with what we're doing with education. The economy, you know, the first step is governor, first step is do no more harm. When I'm traveling the state, business leaders and this is small businesses, will say Oregon has gone from a state that was business unfriendly to business adversarial. And we need to change that. You have to have business, and small business in particular is so cornerstone to our communities, cornerstone to life, providing the jobs that we need. We have to change that. And as governor, you have a number of tools. One of them is power of the pen to say, hey, I will veto anything that comes across my desk that keeps making it harder and harder place and driving out businesses out of our state. Focusing on that. Affordability is a big issue. You know, over half of our state is living month to month. And, you know, we talk about the taxes at the high end, how, especially in Portland, where they're second only to New York City, highest in the country. But one thing that's often overlooked is that for somebody making $100,000 or even $200,000, we have the highest personal income taxes in the country. And I've said, as governor, I want to push forward to reduce the personal income tax burden on the first $100,000 that's of earned income. I think we have to do that to help working class Oregonians to be able to afford to live in Oregon and to promote growth in our state. Safety is a big issue to me. We're 48th in number of officers per capita in Oregon, and I'm also dead set against what I'll call poison. I believe we have to get the poison off our streets. Drugs such as fentanyl, trank, other things that you do once, twice, three times, and either kills you or can do great damage to someone. That we have to get that out of our state. And it saddens me when I'm traveling the state, and you know, you get to know all the statistics and you know everything, the numbers. But as you travel the state, you know the stories behind these numbers. You know, whether it's talking to the waitress who's telling me about she doesn't want to send her, she's worried about the education her kids are getting in schools and just how hard it is month to month, living month to month. Or whether it's, as I mentioned with the drugs, that where I'm talking to somebody on the streets, getting to know him, and I find out a week later that he's overdosed on fentanyl, or that I'm out in Boardman just last week and giving a talk, and afterwards a nice lady comes up to me and says, you know what, it's not just in the cities, it's across our state, which I knew. But she comes up and she says, my granddaughter overdosed on fentanyl last week and died. She didn't even know she had it. She was just smoking marijuana. So we've got to get this stuff off our streets, and we have to have where we feel safe going to our cities, our towns, our parks, our trails. And we also have to get these drugs. We have to address our addiction crisis as well.
Now, let's say you're elected governor. Week one, what would you do?
Well, I declare a state of emergency in education, and we have to get on that immediately and address the issues that we're facing there. I would also state right away that Oregon's open for business. And again, business that supports our community, supports our state, supports Oregon's values, but say that business is welcome. It's not a four-letter word, that we have to have it. We have to have growth. Those would be a couple things right away. I would focus, hammer down on how do we address the addiction crisis we have? How do we address the safety issues we have? It's focusing on education, economy, livability, which again is affordability and safety. And I will be hammering on those issues immediately from day one. And then we're going to have to do some audits. We're going to have to look at where the dollars are being spent, where we've had a crisis in ODOT. Why are we having the problems that we're having there? Where are we spending our dollars, whether it's on in education or homelessness? Why are we in education, for example, we've increased spending by 80% over the past 10 years, and yet our results have gotten worse. What are we doing? Well, let's examine these areas. And so I think there'll be a lot to do on day one, and looking across the board. And I look forward to doing it.
You just picked up a major financial donation a couple days ago. Talk about the impact of that on your campaign.
Well, yes, Phil Knight has been a supporter, and it is an honor and a privilege to get the endorsement and support of Phil Knight, who has, in my opinion, is the greatest business person to come through our state. And just what he's done on the philanthropic side, literally giving billions of dollars to helping Oregon institutions, creating an incredible, obviously, Nike is such a success story. I've been an admirer of his for forever, and to have his financial support and his just his backing and his faith and endorsement means the world to me. And I think, and it should show what he, you know, he backs what he thinks is who he thinks the winning team is, where to go, and the path to get there. And all, you know, when I've talked to Phil, it's purely people say, well, does he want something? No, he doesn't want it. All he will say is, I want better for Oregon. We can do so much better than what we're doing now. And that's what I, you know, and I share that with him and talk about what, you know, what's the legacy that we all are leaving to the next generation? How are we leaving Oregon? How do we improve it now for all of us that are here now, but also set it up for the future? And that's his passion, and it's my passion as well.
We have the filing deadline for candidates around the state on Tuesday, and we have stayed at 24 people running for governor. Obviously, most of those unknown names, 14 Republicans, 10 Democrats. What does that say maybe about the current governor when so many people want the job?
Well, I think it shows that a lot of people don't think she's been doing a good job, and she hasn't. I mean, it's... You know, it's I don't think it's an attack to say nothing has gotten better in Oregon under her leadership that I can see in the last 4 years or even the 12 years in which she was Speaker of the House. What has gotten better in the state of Oregon? And I would say I can't think of anything. And, you know, whether it's from housing costs, affordability has gotten worse. Homelessness, drugs has gotten worse. The business climate has gotten worse. You know, you go down the list, nothing has improved. And I think it's time for someone from the outside. And by the way, we haven't had somebody with a business background in the governor's office for 40 years. And it's time to have an outsider, somebody from the outside without the partisan bickering and the political games, come in and have serious solutions to our serious problems, have a vision for the future, a belief in Oregon. And I believe passionately in Oregon. I believe it's the most beautiful state in the country. And we have so much going for us, from natural resources to the beauty we have, to the deep water ports, being on the West Coast, great people here. We have so much going for us. Oregon deserves better, and we can do better.
If you were elected governor, what would you do in terms of working with the legislature? You've got your role in leading the state, but you've got all these lawmakers that you are hoping to get many of them on board for what you'd like to see take place. How do you do that?
Well, in a couple ways. As governor, you walk in, you have a number of tools that you can use. The first one is the power of the pen. Talked about that. So you have to start with, right now, there's just not a negotiation. It's because it's a supermajority. You walk in and say, no, we have to negotiate because I will not approve and I will not let go through anything I don't approve of. And so that's a big one to get people to the table to start with. And then from there, you also have the power of the pulpit to talk about the message. And in winning the governorship, I will have a mandate to say, these are the items, these are the issues I ran on and was voted in, and therefore, let's talk about these, let's address these. The people of Oregon want us to focus on these issues. And so that's another way of getting there. So there's a number of tools you have, as well as the power of the purse, where the budget, where you spend the dollars, and you can add accountability to those dollars, which has been sorely lacking right now. And you know, the fourth tool you have, which is one that's often overlooked in helping restore some balance to our state, is the power of appointment. We have close to 300 boards and commissions in the state of Oregon, as well as the judges and agency heads in different areas that the governor can appoint. And not one person in any of those positions has been appointed by a Republican governor, because that would have been 40 years ago. And so the power of appointment also is another way to restore balance to our state, to have people on the boards, commissions, agencies that actually understand what the impact of the rules, regulations that are putting forth, how those impact small business, how they impact the consumer, how they impact everyday life. And so I think that's going to be really important in restoring some balance to our state.
What was your reaction to watching the short session of the Oregon State Legislature? Seemed pretty contentious. What did you think of what got done, maybe what didn't get done?
Well, once again, I'm just disappointed by the lack of vision in our state. From a business perspective, I would say, delinking from the federal tax credits was a big deal. It sent all the wrong messages for business. And the governor talked about a prosperity council, and it kind of showed that has no teeth to it and no is not going anywhere if the first thing they do is pass legislature to drive that will drive away business. From the Blazers deal, there was an effort to put money towards the Blazers, which the arena needs to be renovated, but I thought it was a poorly designed bill, and it was very one-sided, perhaps the most one-sided deal in the NBA as far as arenas, and it showed a lack of negotiation, a lack of vision, that basically we signed a deal that the new owners put in front of us and kind of forced us to agree to. And again, that could have been prevented. We could have had a much better deal, in my opinion. So I just think overall, again, there were some things increasing the liability or helping with the liability for for different things was good, but overall it was a disappointing session, but not surprising in any way.
How would you describe yourself politically?
I believe I have my core values in that regard. I'm probably considered conservative in that regard. But I'm a consensus builder also, pragmatic, conservative, maybe. I don't know. I don't like labels. All I know is I'm an Oregon first. I want what is best for the state, and I will do what I have to do with that in mind. I will stick to my principles, to my values, but work with others, work with everyone to build a consensus to get our state in a better position.
And how do you lead a state that really politically kind of acts like it's two states? You've got strongly conservative areas. You've got very progressive areas. How do you bridge all that?
Well, and I think that's where being an outsider is really valuable. And, you know, I come from a family where I have both sides of the aisle represented in my family. And they're all great people. You know, some ideas are a little crazier than others, and, you know, some I agree with, some I don't, but they're all great people. And there's a way that you can talk with people and try to help build that consensus. And I do think, I was just literally talking about that at a fundraiser I was doing here in Portland on Tuesday, where talking about, they were asking about timber and different things and just kind of telling them from the rural perspective what is needed, how I believe right now we're in a lose-lose-lose as far as natural resources, where we've lost the jobs, the counties don't get the revenue, and from an environmental perspective, I think it's definitely not working when you have these catastrophic wildfires. But being able to kind of help as governor, that's so important to be able to bridge that gap and to be able to talk about the issues, understand the issues from both perspectives, and build a consensus is so important. So much of the state does not feel represented. And in fact, I would say the entire state, other than from Portland to Eugene, feels left out, and as they should, because they have been left out. And that doesn't matter if I'm in Eastern Oregon, Southern Oregon, or on the coast. It's something that has to change. And as governor, I've said I'd be governor for the entire state of Oregon. I would represent all areas of Oregon, and I would be passionate in doing so and bringing to the table what the rest of the state needs and addressing those needs. It's critically important for our future.
All right, out of time. We'll talk again soon. Chris Dudley, Republican candidate for governor. Thanks for being on today.
Yeah, thank you, Kyle. Appreciate it.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.